Well, thanks for the opportunity to speak out about this and the latest attack in Wad al-Noor. What we know of the situation, as reported also through a statement provided by our executive director, Catherine Russell, is that at least 35 children were killed in the attack and more than 20 injured. We do expect some of those numbers to rise. Of course, this is a catastrophic event. No child should die, certainly not 35, and very concerned about, of course, future atrocities committed. This is not the first attack. This has been a year of attacks on communities, attacks on livelihoods. Children have been caught in the midst of this conflict, this senseless conflict between two parties, and as E.D. Russell called for in her statement, and the Secretary General as well. What the people of Sudan need is a ceasefire, and an
Yeah.
urgent ceasefire.
Of course they do. You know, we don't hear about this heavy fighting in Sudan very much because we've got other crises going on, but we really should be hearing about what is going on, the fighting between the Sudanese armed forces and the rapid support forces. There have been UN-led efforts to try and get peace. Nonetheless, we're seeing these awful images of bodies lined up ready for burial in this village of Wad al Nura. It's what, 70 kilometers or 70 miles from the capital, Khartoum? You probably know it well, don't you?
I know the area very well. And indeed, if you think about it, Daniel, just in any community that where you are sitting, if you thought of 35 children being killed in your community, it would be a huge deal. Now take that onto scale, the number of people who have been killed in this conflict, those injured, those displaced, it would be a huge deal, but we just are not hearing about it. But families are dealing with this day in and day out, and it's a loss of one person in a family is a considerable toll to that family. But just consider the number and the scale of people affected because of this crisis. We're very concerned about that. We're concerned about the knock-on effects of the conflict, with regards to depriving families to access the life-saving care, healthcare, nutrition, the disruption to the planting season, and the concerns we have around famine-like conditions and serious hunger. There are anecdotal reports of families having to turn to very desperate means and desperate coping strategies just to survive.
What does a coping strategy mean?
Well, we've seen images of families boiling grass, for example, and we've heard other anecdotal stories of having to resort to slaughtering animals, and other coping strategies, selling off precious assets. The only assets that remain after having to flee from homes, family homes, and leaving personal belongings behind, and other coping strategies. And we know that these are coping strategies families have to take under very desperate, dire situations. That also can include, just children being taken out of school to provide support in terms of generating income, begging on the streets. We're seeing a lot more children on the streets, for example, begging on the streets to be able to get just an SDG to pay for ever expensive food in Sudan. And these are not the coping strategies that families should have to be resorting to, and children should not be on the streets having to try to find income and money for their families to survive. They should be in schools, they should be learning. They should be children.
Of course. And, you know, we're hearing that armed groups are managing to recruit children. And in those conditions that you're describing, it's really not a surprise, is it, that children are being caught up in this conflict when, of course, they should be somewhere else. Talking of other places in Sudan where there are nearly 10 million internally displaced, it's really incredible, that number. Further to the west, in the Darfurs, in El-Fasher, the UN Migration Agency said earlier today that it doesn't have access cross-line or cross-border. So no humanitarian access to the people caught up in fighting there. Can you fill us in? Do you have any of the latest details from El-Fasher?
Well, we are all very concerned about the situation in El-Fasher. Just the level of violence, the level of arsenal, the artillery that it's being used around El-Fasher, in El-Fasher, those that are still trapped in El-Fasher town, as well as those who have been forced to flee to other locations in Darfur. We are advocating on all levels for access. And in fact, we do have some signaling of the potential to bring in supplies cross-border through the TINA access entry point. But of course, that's one of of two border entry points that have been used and are needed to be able to get dire humanitarian aid across to ever vulnerable populations. But supplies are able to move. I know that the World Food Program has been able to move quite a few trucks, as have UNICEF. And indeed, we had recently 8 trucks deliver supplies to North Darfur, including into El Fasher. But the issue is getting the scale of supplies that are required to meet the ever-growing needs and getting them to the right places and getting them on time. And that's the challenge.
Because you've
every
got
negotiation. Because,
sorry to interrupt, but you've got 800,000 civilians, non-combatants, caught up in the fighting in El Fasher, haven't you? That's the scale of the problem just there alone.
Exactly. And 8 trucks just won't do it. We need 80 trucks. We need 800 trucks. We need supplies to be able to get into these communities, get into those communities as quickly as possible. People don't have the tomorrows. This is a dire situation, and we need to get in there. And the urgency of now is just so apparent. And so having those the temporary ceasefires, even temporary green zones, everything that we can think of in our arsenal to be able to get some sort of pathway, a sustainable pathway to deliver impartial aid to very vulnerable communities. That's what we need. That's what we're after. I'm very concerned about some of the damage to hospitals and residents nearby and certainly citizens that were using hospitals for care, being injured in the process. Very concerned about the water situation in El Fasher, really having to resort to extremely expensive water trucking through donkey carts to get water. That is absolutely not sustainable. Again, I can't express enough just how desperate we are, desperate Sudanese are for the war to stop and for aid to be able to get into these populations at scale. And to be able to save lives. That's what we need. We need to save lives and to provide a pathway to peace for people who have been a year into a war that they never asked for.